salvation from sin. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll read verses 18 to 25. This will be our portion of Scripture for this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. Now the subject of our text before us is the miraculous conception and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also brought forth in these verses is the purpose and plan of God and the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was on a mission. He willingly came to this earth, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, willingly came to this earth for a purpose, to die in the room and place of all those who God had given him, the Father had given him, a chosen people, a people of God's own choosing. And he was to be the sinless, spotless sacrifice for their sins. Because he is the Lamb of God. He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God incarnate in the flesh. May this never become commonplace to us. If it becomes commonplace to a believer, we're in trouble. Let this just sink in. Let this fill you with awe that God Himself, the Almighty God, the one who spoke all things into existence, the Word of God, became a man. Became a man. This should fill we who are believers with awe and wonder. We should be carried away with this, shouldn't we? Because we know why he came. To do that which we could never do. We could never pay for our sins, could we? Not one of them. But he came to save his people from their sins. That's why he came. And what a vast blessing is here proclaimed before us for God's people. We would not be saved. We would not be redeemed if Christ had not come to this earth. He is the one who has purchased our eternal souls. He is the one who shed his precious blood. And we would also not be able to stand in the presence of God when we die and leave this earth. We would not be able to stand in the presence of our great God unless Christ had died for us. Unless Christ had come to this earth and lived that perfect life and weaved that perfect coat of righteousness for us. So this should leave us in awe. This should leave us in awe. The fact that he actually did this. And he did it willingly. God Himself. And we are clothed in that perfect righteousness which He wove for us by living a perfectly obedient life in our place as our substitute. So not only did He die as our substitute, but He lived as our substitute, beloved. And if our great Savior, Redeemer, and King had not come to this earth and gave Himself as an atonement for us, we would never be saved. So marvel in this. Marvel in this precious truth here before us. Marvel in this. The Word of God, again, the second person of the Trinity, became a man, but yet fully God. And He dwelt upon this earth. And He lived a perfect life. A perfect life. And He died before God as the substitute of His people. Again, may this just fill us with awe. Look at verses 18 to 20 here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now turn to the section I had Brother John read over there in Luke chapter 1. And note in verse 18 of our text, it says, Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So here before us, we have the miraculous conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the parallel passage is what I had Brother John read over there in Luke chapter 1. Let's read verses 30 to 35. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And you know, all of God's people have found favor with God, haven't we? In Christ. In Christ and Christ alone. That's the only place we find favor with God, is in Christ. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. Oh, and he is great, isn't he? He's great to his people. He's wondrous, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And there is no end to his kingdom. And there never will be. He's still ruling and reigning right now, isn't he? Kingdoms have come and kingdoms have fallen in this earth, and our Lord is still reigning. And beloved, He will forever. He will forever. There'll be no end to His kingdom. No end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then go back over to our text in Matthew chapter 1. And it says she was found, in verse 18, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now this in itself is miraculous. It's amazing. She knew no man, and yet, she's pregnant. Oh my. Oh my. So we see very clearly then that the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ is without the intervention of a human father. It is the work of God the Holy Ghost. A work of God. And this is why the angel proclaimed over in Luke chapter 1:35, Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And this is also why the angel in our text proclaims that which was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary was of the Holy Ghost. Was of the Holy Ghost. And we see in Matthew 1:20, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 40, verse 6. And then put your finger in Hebrews chapter 10. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, where you read verses 6 to 8. And then the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Well, we know that's Christ, isn't it? That's Christ. That's speaking of our Redeemer. That's speaking of our Redeemer. I delight to do thy will. And all he did was the will of the Father while he was here. That's all he did. Perfectly. Perfectly. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And the book of Hebrews brings forth very clearly, as we've seen in our text, where it's mentioned that a body was prepared for the Lord. We'll see here. A body was prepared for the Lord, for the Word of God to become incarnate, and He is Christ Jesus, our Lord, the God-man. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read verses 4 to 10. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. They could never take away sin. All those Old Testament sacrifices were pointing to Christ. Were pointing to the one who would take away the sins of his people. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Look at this. But a body hast thou prepared me. Oh my. That's what we read about over there in Matthew and chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. That's exactly what we read about. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, here it is again, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. He came again to do the will of God. And what's the will of God? To redeem his people from their sins. To save his people from their sins. We know that. Because that was the mission of the Lord, wasn't it? That's why he came here, beloved. To save us. To save us. It leaves us in awe that he would do this. But he loves us. And he's always loved us from eternity. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh my. This is love beyond measure. It says above, he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had thou his pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He offered himself up once for all of his people. Once. So sufficient was his sacrifice. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. But note, a body hast thou prepared me, it says in that text there. Oh my. Oh, in verse 5, but a body hast thou prepared me. The perfect, sinless sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to do the will of the Father, which is to die for the sins of God's elect. Die for the sins of God's elect, to go to Calvary's cross, to redeem them, to purchase them with his own precious blood. To offer the one sacrifice that God would accept for our sins. To do that which is impossible with us. But we know all things are possible with God. Oh, what a Savior. So the conception of Christ was miraculous. It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. He's the seed of the woman. He's the one spoken of who would bruise the serpent's head. Spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. See, we're born sinners because of our dad and mom, aren't we? We're sinners because they're sinners. But Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He's perfect. He's spotless. He's sinless. Look at this in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So Christ is to fulfill this promise spoken of here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He must be the seed of the woman. He must be the seed. He must be miraculously conceived. His incarnation in Mary's womb when fully fulfilled this promise. And the incarnation of Christ being without a human father was wholly accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember that. It was wholly accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit of God and the Father. God the Father planned it and purposed it, didn't He? He planned it and purposed it. He promised it. And God the Holy Spirit executed it. Oh my. And the mere act of conception was all that Mary bore in this great deed. The Holy Spirit did it all. He did it all. This deed was a complete work of God, a miraculous birth. A virgin has given birth to a child. A virgin hath conceived. It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. And we read, where a body hast thou prepared me? And who did this but the Holy Spirit of God? Only He did that. Only He did. The Scriptures proclaim, again, in what Brother John read over in Luke 1:35, I'll read it again, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is a work of God. A complete work of God. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God, the pure, sinless, spotless, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, Lamb of God. That's who Christ is. Made higher than the heavens, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, made flesh. Emmanuel. What a name. God with us. God with us. And why has He come? Why has He come? Why did He leave heaven? We'll look at verse 21 and marvel at this. Marvel at this. Marvel at this wondrous statement here before us. The great Savior, the Word of God, the rescuer of His people. He has come to save His people from their sins. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. What a statement. There's no doubt there, is there? He shall. He's called Jesus. And what a precious name to the born-again, blood-washed believer. What a precious name this is. Jesus. There's no name more precious than this name to we who are the people of God, is there? No name more precious. Jesus means Savior. Savior. The gospel's hid in His name, beloved. It's hid in His name. He's the Savior of His people. And He has saved us from all our sins. From all our sins. He's also saved us from the law of God, hasn't He? Which had a rightful claim on every one of us. He satisfied. He saved us. You know what else He saved us from? The wrath of God. Because it was poured out on Him in our place. But He saved us from that too, hasn't He? Because we will not feel a drop of the wrath of God. because it was all extinguished in Christ for his people. Wonder of wonders. Wonder of wonders. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a precious name. What a precious name. He's the bread of life to his people. He's the water of life to his people. He's our rescuer. He's our redeemer. He's our surety. He's our justification. He's our holiness. He's everything. He's everything to the believer. And he's come, the scripture says here, to save his people from their sins. Well, I can't save myself from my sins, let alone anyone else. Can you? No. None of us could. None of us could save ourselves. There's people out there who think they can, don't they? In their self-righteousness. But not one person on this world could save themselves from their sins. Not one. But there's one who saves his people from their sins. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's done it. He's our rescuer. Let's look at the verse again. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now note the words here, his people. Two little words. His people. And note that this is even before his birth. This is before his birth. And these people that he's come to redeem are called his. That's a marvel. That's a marvel. So if anyone says, well, God hasn't chosen the people, no, no. Well, how come the scriptures right here says he will save his people from their sins? Yes, he has a chosen people. We don't know who they are, therefore we preach and proclaim the gospel to all. But he knows who they are. He's purchased them with his own precious blood. This is wondrous. His people. And what also does it imply this verse? Well, it implies that we're sinners because look what we're saved from. Our sins. So God has a people and they're born sinners. That's what it says there, basically. So marvel at what's being brought forth here. Again, he's had a people before his incarnation and they were sinners. And we know we are. They were sinners. And how do we know they're sinners? Because they must be saved from their sins. They must be, because we can't save ourselves. And they must be saved from their sins. And we who are living now in this day marvel at this, that he came and saved us from our sins before we were even born. Well, that just takes it to a whole other level, doesn't it? Oh my goodness. Here we are born dead in trespasses and sins, having no hope and without God in our minds, and all the time we were children of God and we didn't even know it. And he purchased us on Calvary's cross. It's amazing. So take this too from the birth of Christ, that our Lord was born to die. He was born to die. We're born and we die. He was born to die. And he was born to die for his people. To redeem us from our sins. To purchase us with his own precious blood. What a marvel. So marvel at this, you who are the blood-bought people of God. That a provision was therefore made in the grace of God for our recovery. For our recovery, even before we were alive. Even before, because we all fell in Adam, didn't we? We all fell in Adam. But a purpose and plan and provision was made in eternity by the grace of God for our recovery. We were chosen in Christ before the world began. And our text here says that Christ has come when he was born into this world to redeem his people from their sins. to purchase them, to save them. To save them. And how? By the shedding of his own precious blood. And every single blood-bought believer can say, he did that for me. He did that for me. Oh, how precious then is the name of Christ to God's people. How precious. I ask you who are born again, you who are one of his people, who've been purchased, is he not precious to you? Is his name not precious to you? Is the fact that he came to redeem you from your sins before you were even born not precious to you? Does it not fill you with awe and wonder knowing who we are and what we are? Does it not fill you with awe and wonder that he did this because he loved us? Oh, how precious is his name. And how this was foreshadowed in the book of Genesis. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22. How this was foreshadowed in the book of Genesis when Abraham was going to offer up Isaac unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 22. We'll read verses 8 to 18. And this is but a picture. This is but a picture of the father offering up his own son. Look at this. Genesis 22 verses 8 to 18. And I love this. Verse 8. And Abraham said, my God, my son, my God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He did, didn't he? God, the Word of God, provided himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of his people. God provided a lamb, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. God incarnate in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. A substitute. Oh my. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Oh, as it is said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord shall provide. Eh? And he has. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That's speaking of Christ. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. But note in verse 8, the wondrous statement, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Truly, God has provided himself a lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ, the believer's Passover lamb, is God incarnate in the flesh. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And he offered himself up to the Father as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Sinless. Think of this. He's absolutely sinless, spotless, perfect, undefiled, holy, harmless. And he offers himself up for the sins of his people. And God will only accept the perfect sacrifice. Hey, he's perfect. Oh my. He's perfect in his life. He's perfect in his death. He's perfect in his resurrection, beloved. He's perfect. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And the believer in Christ can look at these scriptures and say, He's done that for me. He did that for me. Oh my. And we don't know who God's lost sheep are, and therefore we say, flee to Christ. He is the only sacrifice that God will accept. The only sacrifice. May God make you willing if you don't know Him. Oh. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. It is the office, work, and responsibility of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the God-man, our mediator, as the surety of His people, and as Jehovah's righteous servant to save all those who were given to Him by the Father in the covenant of grace in eternity. And He shall not fail. And He hasn't. And He never will. He is a successful Savior. He redeemed His people from their sins on Calvary's cross. That's why the words are so precious, it's finished. Because it's done. Salvation's work is done. It's complete. And again, this is what offends man's pride. When you say that salvation's only in Christ, it's a complete salvation. It offends man's pride. But we're here to proclaim the truth, aren't we? We desire to hear the truth proclaimed. And this is the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice that God will accept. The sinless, perfect, spotless sacrifice. And His salvation in Him is a complete salvation. He's done it all. That's why the Scriptures proclaim salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. If you're trying to work your way to glory, stop. Cast yourself upon Christ. Cling to Christ. Because our works, or supposed good works, are only like filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. He is the Almighty, effectual Savior. And He has saved His people from the penalty of their sins. How? By His blood atonement. He shall not fail, the Scripture says. He shall save His people from their sins, the Scriptures proclaim. And He did. He did it. Turn to Daniel chapter 9, if you would. Daniel chapter 9, if you would. Daniel chapter 9. We read verses 24, 26. Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And look at this. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for Himself. But not for Himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Look at what verse 24 proclaims right there. What the Lord Jesus Christ has done for His people. By the offering of Himself once, He finished transgression. He made an end of sin. He made reconciliation for iniquity. That's our iniquity. because he's perfect, he's sinless, he's spotless. And he brought in what? Everlasting righteousness. That's what he's done. That's what the Lord's done. The believer is clothed in the everlasting righteousness of Christ. And then look at verse 26. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Because he's sinless. He's spotless. He's perfect. He's the Lamb of God. He was cut off and he died for our sins, beloved. For our sins, for the sins of his people. And this everlasting righteousness, again, that's spoken of in verse 24, is to all his people and upon all his people. All that believe upon him. And by the offering of himself, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we're sanctified in him, aren't we? Now, we're still sinners while we're on this earth. But as far as God looks at us and he sees Christ, that's amazing. Absolutely incredible. Let's go back to our text after reading that in Daniel. And we'll read verses 22 and 23 now. 22 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. And here before us we have a fulfillment of the prophecy that was made by the prophet Isaiah. Turn there to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy made by Isaiah. Wondrous. Absolutely wondrous. Isaiah chapter 7, we'll read verses 10 to 15. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height thereof, height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but ye weary my God also. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now think of this too. Christ coming into this world was undesirable by us in our natural state. We didn't desire Christ, did we? Man didn't seek God. The scripture says no man seeks God. No man understands God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So this is an unsought after Savior. But by God's mercy and grace, He sends His Son into this world. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall He eat, that ye may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Think of how man's unworthiness of salvation magnifies the riches of God's grace. Our unworthiness of this salvation that we have in Christ magnifies the riches of God's grace. And it's been so from the beginning. As the fall of Adam made way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would save his people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. A virgin shall conceive, again, without the intervention of a human father. This wonderful child shall be called by a name which testifies of his nature. He's the God-man. God and man in one person, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And he's distinguished from others. Look at verse 15. Butter and honey shall ye eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. He's distinguished from others in the fact that he's holy and sinless. Yet in common circumstances of life, he shall be as others. Butter and honey he eats. He's a man. He's Emmanuel. He's God, but he's a man too. He eats and drinks just like we do. But yet, oh, he's holy. He's subject to all natural wants. He hungers, he thirsts, he grows tired, and yet he's fully God too. Fully man and fully God. And why did he come here? To save his people from their sins. To save his people from their sins. Emmanuel. God with us. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name. Emmanuel declares the union of two natures in the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It declares the union that He is God and man. Emmanuel. Oh, what a name. Salvation is found in Him alone. The book of Acts declares this. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. That means we can't save ourselves. And that means there's salvation in no one else. Neither is there salvation in either, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him, who is Emmanuel, God with us, who came into this world to save sinners, to save His people from their sins. And praise God, beloved. He finished the work. He finished the work. All that He was sent to do, He accomplished. He accomplished. And now, He is risen. Now He's risen. And He is seated at the right hand of the Father, where He receives all glory, honor, and praise. And He is the only one who's deserving of it. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wondrous subject which we looked at today, the incarnation, O Lord, of You. How You left heaven to come to this world to redeem Your people from their sins, to do that which was impossible with us. And You have saved us. And You purchased us with Thy own precious blood, giving Your life for us as a ransom, shedding Your blood as a ransom, a payment for our sins. Oh Lord, may we marvel at this during this time and during all the times of the year, may we marvel. And we pray, Lord, if it's Your will, that You give us a door of utterance to our family members and friends, if it's Your will, Lord, that we can proclaim this wondrous truth, the wondrous truth that You, God incarnate in the flesh, came to save Your people from their sins. And we who are Your people can proclaim the wondrous things that You've done for us. Glory to Your name, Lord. In Jesus' name.